welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man, and this week I bring to you a crossover episode. That's right, a crossover episode with Scott from Podcast Bay. And let me explain a little bit about Podcast Bay. I know I'm going to be explaining it a little bit more poorly than Scott does because Podcast Bay is his baby and his show. Podcast Bay is a podcast about making podcasts. And I know some of you are going to be kind of confused as why is the Godfather having someone on about to talk about making podcasts? Podcasting is not really geeky. Well, to some people it is. It's a way of creating a radio broadcast. And a lot of people like doing that, and just like there are a lot of people who love comics and love to draw or love to write stories, it's their geeks, their geekiness, and this is what Scott wants to do and wanted to do, and he's making his thing, and who's to stop him? And in this episode, let me just say, one, it's on Skype, and you're going to hear me reiterate that, and two, it's just going to be in a casual conversation format, so there's going to be a lot of anecdotes and so forth and so on. So right now, I'm going to step back and let the conversation begin. Hey guys, yes, as you get to hear and tell, that this is not me ranting and raving for yet another episode, but through the power of Skype and the all things Canadian, I have a special guest right now, and his name, because I do not dare mispronounce his last name for various reasons, some of which are kind of funny, it is Scott from, is it Podcast Bay?
Yeah.
Yes, tell me about it's Podcast Bay. I would normally say he's also from the Facebook group Podcast Discovery Center, but he recently stepped down due to the fact that he's went to various reasons. Let's just say greener pastures, with no ill will towards the group and to those there at the group, including myself. Scott, please tell us a little bit about your podcast and what you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I run a show called Podcast Bay. Basically, we kind of take an educational / no holds bar approach to the podcast industry and podcasting in general. We want to educate. We want to be funny. We try to find a good balance, and people seem to like it. So that's, in short form, what I do.
That's not a problem. And folks at home that might want to complain that, hey, this is not your base core thing of geekiness. What I try to do is everybody's a geek in reference to something.
And oh, God, man, if only you knew. I am the vintage gamer, Warhammer, lost 3 years of my life to World of Warcraft geek.
Oh, I was going to go with the brony reference, but
not quite, but a buddy of mine is, and it's terrifying. Oh,
I know. I know somebody that's a brony, and I'm like, oh, that's
I don't
scary.
Understand. Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
And it was just like, I'm doing my first big major convention coverage and trying to learn, as you probably know, going from a local setting, covering that type of ordeal to a major setting is different. And there's a learning curve.
No doubt.
Because policies are different, and one could be your buddy, and the other group is definitely not your buddy. So, and I'm posting on, trying to do the podcaster thing, posting on Instagram, posting on Twitter, posting on Facebook, and a message pops up in one of the comments. Yeah, I'm at the BroCon. I'm like, what's that? Oh, it's a brony convention in Baltimore, and I'm in D.C. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Man, the first time I heard of BroCon, I literally thought it was like bro dudes, like bunch of, you know, spiked hair, tank tops, muscles, just like all hanging out and having a good time. And then I realized it was actually for like bronies. And I don't know if I was like amazed or confused. Like, I can't remember my reaction, but I did not get it.
It's confusing and oddly terrifying. It's like you want to know, but you don't want to know. And
I feel rude asking about it. And I will ask people like the weirdest, most obnoxious questions to make sure I don't step out of my lane. But I feel weird asking a brony, what's the deal?
I would tell cosplayers, like, what are you thinking? You know, it's especially now, you know, it's like, I got to snap a picture and I got to get some audio because no one's going to believe me that I saw this. Number two, somebody who's going to see this is wanting to know why. Yeah. What was crossing your mind? And
I'm not being judgmental or anything. I'm genuinely curious because I've seen some weird things on the internet, man. Some weird things on the internet, and you got to be open-minded about like 95% of it.
And it's literally scary, but it's funny, it's amusing, and
it's different.
You want to poke it with a stick, and that's about all you can do sometimes.
It's in the same vein as men's rompers for me. I don't know whether to take it seriously or not. Something that's here to stay or not?
That term is completely new to me. What is men's rompers?
Okay, well, a romper is ladies' fashion where it's like shorts and a tank top, but they're combined.
Oh, was that called a romper? Like earlier this summer or something like that?
Yeah. And they released them for guys, and at first I thought it was a joke, and then it turns out it wasn't, and now I'm just left with this feeling of I'm not sure.
It's like, I know a few people that are trans. It's like, where do I go with this? You know, is it wrong for me to ask questions? But it's different and weird and everything else. To kind of move back towards the main aspect of the show, what got you into podcasting?
To be honest with you, my first job was in radio. I loved it. Took initiative there. I was just supposed to kind of be a weekend personality, but I started getting involved with some of like making commercials and doing cool stuff like behind the scenes. And got out of it because like I was young when I got the job and I was like, okay, it's fun, but I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. on the weekends to talk to myself. I was a teenager. I wanted to drink instead. So, like, I went through high school, did my thing, and went through to college. I started business college, but didn't enjoy it. Dropped out, worked retail for a while, and ran a band at the same time. We recorded all our own shit, and I learned a bunch of skills. Eventually wanted to quit my job in retail, couldn't stand it anymore, and I reached out to a friend of mine who is a business mentor, and I asked him, like, dude, what should I do? And he recommended podcasting, and I didn't realize that podcasting could actually be like an industry that you could carve out a profession in. So when I looked into it and saw all these people doing amazing things, I jumped in with both feet, and my experience kind of carried me through.
For me, podcasting is it's definitely a learning experience. I'm sure you could agree with that.
Yes.
I've had a lot of friends of the family saying, well, who at the time, like this was several years ago, closer to like 2010, and they realized a couple of things that I've written note-wise on Facebook as blogs got shared to kind of a quasi-mainstream site, and they said, well, since you're kind of looking for a job, you just put that on your resume. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, just in case you apply to a job that requires a reporting skill, meaning you have to write reports, it shows that you're able to do something on a professional level, and it's not Facebook.
Yes.
And they asked me, it's like, how many of these notes were shared to that site, as even though you're kind of a quasi-official guest blogger? And I said, 3. And they said, well, that means it's not a fluke. Because the first time, it might be a buddy's doing you a favor. Second time is coincidence. Third time, it's not a fluke. And I'm looking at that, even though what I'm doing with this is a hobby, it's fun, it's intriguing, it's also a learning experience. And where you have the radio background, I have to learn everything from scratch, from the ground up.
Yes.
And where if both of us went to a similar job, granted you have more experience than I do, but both of us have more experience than some weirdo coming in off the street.
Yeah.
But that's how I kind of look at it. It's like, it's just something that, hey, I have experience in this. And yes. It also applies too. I'm sure you can realize, agree that when it comes to podcasting, you have to be especially the sole person involved. You got to be the producer, the researcher, the interviewer.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, the promoter.
Yeah, man.
And that's almost management level skills, because you got to manage everything around you and be utter chaos as well.
Dude, it reminds me of when I was in the band and we had to be like the booking agent. We had to be the financial managers. We had to be the musicians, the artists. We had to be the recording engineer. Like, we had to do it all. And like, so podcasting is very similar to that, where you have to wear every hat. You have to learn promotion, and every last bit of it is a skill on its own. So I hear you. It's awesome, but it's a lot to take in at once.
And the thing is, I've said to many people that my co-host that's on a lot of the Hostfuls, he's done a lot of promotion and bookings on to get bands into local establishments and so forth and so on.
Nice.
And that's where I'm learning that from. I'm, you know, pinging ideas off of him. And, you know, it's a great baseline, because
there's a lot of parallels. People don't think, but there's a lot of parallels.
And there's been a few times that he's looked at me and said, honestly, I didn't think you'd be able to pull that type of thing off. If it was me, I would not be able to pull that off, no matter how hard I tried. And if I used every tool in my book to do it, I would not be able to pull that off. And somehow I did it. It's because with me, my interview skills are, if I have to research it, I'll research it. But if it's better off for me to go in blindly, that way it allows me to ask better questions, because my fans might not know diddly squat about
what. Yes.
I'll go that route. And as you might agree with that too, that especially with I'm not knocking Podcast Discovery Center, but with groups like that, you'll get 50 out of 100 comments. You'll get 50 say, yeah, you got to research every aspect, and another 50 saying, nope.
Oh, but absolutely. There
is that spectrum, like, know a little bit, but, you know, there is a balance.
Definitely. And it really depends. Like, for me, what I like to do, I'm not going to research you in depth. I'm going to check out a couple of episodes of your show, which I did, and just get a feel for what you're talking about, what you're interested in, what the cadence of your voice, how you laugh, how you react, the relationships you have with people. Like, it's, to me, more prevalent to get involved with what you're creating than it is to research you, if that makes any sense at all. I just find it makes for a way better discussion, to be honest.
Yeah, back in the early days of doing this show, I spoke to the frontman for Midnight Sonata, I think was the second part of the name. He's kind of like was like a horror band type of ordeal. And it was my first major, I won't say my first major interview, it was the first con I ever covered. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. it's like, I had a digital recorder with me. Why I didn't use it, I had no idea. I was making every rookie mistake there possibly was. But within his interview, I took a step back a little bit and let my co-host who knew more, way more about music and about band promotion, take a little bit more of the forefront. And I think that's a good aspect of as a frontman of the show, when to take that step back and let people who are part of your show take the forefront if they know a little bit more. And you yourself ask the follow-up questions.
So. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because, like, again, to relate it back to podcasting, I don't know everything. I love promotion. I love building community. I love creating content. Like, I'm more of an architect, I guess, than, like, a content creator, so to speak. I do create content, but I'm always trying to build things and create things. And I'm not a sound quality guy. I'm not the type to spend a lot of time there in that world. As long as my stuff sounds good, I'm happy. But how it works, I could care less. And so for Podcast Bay, in order to get, like, cover that base, I invited Cole Johnson of Cole Sports onto the show to teach production and sound quality and all that, because he's good at it. I needed to take a step back and let someone else take care of that part of my audience, you know?
I can understand that. My instruction with not so much podcasting, when I first did it was about 10 years ago. Me and, again, it was the same co-host. We just, all right, what do we do about podcasting? Okay, we got this hosting service. We got a microphone. Let's talk for about a half an hour, and that's it. We had no idea about promotion, or very, very little about podcasting promotion. We just didn't really care. We were just happy that we're to kind of use Chris Hardwick's term, making a thing. Yeah. And we had great topics. We had great ways of producing it. Just promoting it was rather weak. And we had dreams. We just were not really good at it. And this time around, he was like, all right, you take the reins. Let's see what you can do. I dare you to do this again and bring it up. And I'm like, okay, what do I need? And all right, what do we do last time? Okay, we had one mic and we had a computer to record. I could do that. And it just, everything, I looked into it and I've told people, I am below the poverty line. I don't have the money for the better stuff. I had to save up to get better equipment and to do that. So everything I do is very B-movie and low production. And it's not a dig against you or any other podcaster out there, but I had to find ways to do things on the cheap.
Hey, dude, I'm not taking it as a dig. Do you want to know where I started 2 years ago?
Where?
Karaoke mic. Me and my co-host handed it back and forth. Wasn't even XLR. It was like literally like the guitar jack on a crapped out HP, which I am still using, by the way, never upgraded. We did that. We handed it back and forth for our first podcast, and you could hear all the disgusting mic sounds and you could hear how horrible it was, but we didn't have the cash flow. He was working three jobs. I had two. And it was just a lot of fun because we wanted a better studio. So we wrote letters to local companies and we asked them, like, hey, our audience is primarily millennials. We're on the verge of something big. We would love to sell you some ad space. And we had no idea what the fuck we were doing. Sorry, excuse my language, but we didn't. And someone bought. Someone bought. They literally bought us they gave us $150 and we went and we bought a mixer. And then next thing you know, we found a couple of Shure SM58s on sale, $90 a piece. And we scrounged and we built ourselves a half decent studio, man. It was fun.
My place for a personal studio is not possible because it's about the size of a tiny house. So, okay. You know, it's an efficiency place, which means it's like three rooms and that's it, which is bathroom, living area, and kitchen. So having more than one person in the house is kind of not feasible. So therefore, I had to kind of figure out, okay, I have to take everything on the road with me. And that means going somewhere that's, again, as close to free as possible that's able to do it. Therefore, my first aspect was the library, which I've now become arch enemies with because of their board of directors. And because what happened with them is that they were, for the longest while, for our first year, or at least our first 6 months, that they would let us use the conference room for free as long as we kept everything nice and neat and tidy. And after that, they got a new director in that wanted to charge for everything. Therefore, and she was so hated by the community that even though I was doing this, I separated myself from the show with the community, and while still being part of the show, if you could understand that, saying, listen, why are you pushing away the community? Most of the people that are living near this library are low income. Why are you charging? They're not going to have the $10, $15 per hour that you're charging. And they didn't want to hear it. And I'm like, okay, you are literally pushing me, someone who has no vehicle, to a business outside the downtown area that if I have guests in, I could, if I have the money for lunch, I'm taking them out to a local business. Now I got to go someplace else that it's a major chain. The local mom and pop shops are losing business because of you. And they, again, didn't want to hear it. I'm like, all right, next meeting, make it free. Don't make me walk all the way a mile to a mom and pop shop that's willing to have us in their establishment. And you want to know what I carry with me? And I had the whole, my whole equipment, my whole studio with me, and it's like 50 pounds worth of equipment. I plopped it on the desk and said, that's my equipment. If you want to take a look, take a look. And again, didn't want to hear it. They got a new director, and I said, listen. And by this time, Anthony posted, I think it was Anthony, if not you, somebody on PDC posted up about the library down in Florida having their own kind of YouTube space. And I brought it to their attention and saying, all right, you think you're a big major library like Miami? Well, this is what Miami's doing, or Palm County, Florida. Well, they, again, didn't want to hear it. So I'm like, fine, I'll go to this local coffee shop a mile away. They're happy to have me for 2 hours plugging their thing for free. So, and I'm buying my guests coffee. It's a win-win scenario. So, that's just one fellow's opinion.
Sorry, there's a motorcycle in the background. I'm just waiting for it to pass.
I thought you're hearing my my train.
Oh, I don't know. One or the other. I just figured it'd be easier to edit out if I shut up.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Okay. there have been major podcasts. I would say bigger podcasts that I listen to. It sounds like they're right next to an airport because I'm able to hear airplanes take off and land. I don't think they notice it, but I'm able. My hearing is very good. I attribute it to that because I volunteered for a few months helping local blind people, and they hear very well. So when they say I hear something, you tend to try to look for that same sound. So that's my take on that. I could be completely wrong.
You trained your ears?
Yeah, I've trained my ears over the years. If I'm wrong, folks, please send emails to thelongcoatmafia@gmail.com. trying to get that user interaction, folks.
Yeah, the feedback loop. It's important. Feedback. Can he train his ears looking for the sounds that blind people hear?
And it's that sort of thing. It's like to go on when you were talking about the karaoke mic. A buddy of mine in Florida, when he first started his show is now defunct because he stopped because everybody kind of went their separate ways, and it was no longer fun for him.
Ah, that sucks.
And, He had it for about 5 years. That's how long. I'm not saying he quit after a year. He had it for 5 years, and he started that way. And he said the best advice is if you have to sacrifice audio quality to get your content, do it. I'd rather have somewhat crappy audio and have great content than great audio and sucky content.
I'm so torn, man, because I feel like there's a balance, there's a threshold. I feel like horrible audio will turn people away just as quickly as horrible content, but at the same time and in the same vein, what's the point of having pristine sound if you don't know what you're talking about? So I really do feel like there's a threshold. There's a 1-to-1 ratio you need to find.
There's always people are always going to be. That's what a friend of mine, one of my best friends, stated, that no matter what you do, someone's going to hate you for it.
Yes.
And so you could in one of the solo apps, it was like, okay, here's the review about this. I'm going to leave the drama behind it away from the review so you folks can know that this is coming as a review, not from the drama. I'll tell the drama in a later episode, kind of separate. And he said, listen, people are going to hate you no matter what for it. So whether it's from the drama or not the drama, they're going to hate you for it. So no matter what you do, just go ahead and do it.
Pretty much.
And one of the things, best advice when I was going through, like most podcasters do, you go through that little rough patch. What should I do? Everything's not working out right. And then during that time, there was a YouTuber. He's still active on the YouTube community. He runs the channel Rented Loops, folks. Some Ordinary Gamers. And he did this parody video of how to become a big popular YouTuber. And he said, joke's done, humor done, parody done. The best thing I could tell you, it's your YouTube channel. You post what you want.
Yeah, and basically.
You have that core topic, but you post what you want. It's your channel, not your listener's channel. So that's what I'm like, that's great advice right there. And one of the things I found out, I got some hate on another podcast group because of the name of my show. And it was like,
what? I Google like my, the name of your show.
And I'm like, wait, do you know how to Google? It's, you know, and it's like, the reason why I chose the name of my show is that, one, yes, I'm geek-based, but when you do type in geek, there's like a plethora of geek podcasts out there with geek in the name or nerd in their name. A lot of them are great, probably great shows, but you need something that stands out, that stops you and go, huh, what? And that's one reason.
And it's nice to make a deeper reference, too. Like, it's okay to put your keyword in the title, but it depends how niche you're looking to go, right? If you want to catch a broad topic, you put your keyword in the title, but if you really want to catch diehard fans, you go with a deeper reference.
Right, and a lot of people I've had a few people come up to my booths at shows and like, explain the name of your show. I'm like, well, one, we're a geek show, and when you look at every villain, every hero, like if you look at like the Matrix, they're all wearing long coats, and look how cool they are. Look at, you know, Samuel Jackson's, you know, as Nick Fury. Look how cool he is with that long coat. Look how, you know, especially when you look at the old spaghetti westerns with, you know, the dusters and
Lee Van Cleef.
yeah. Or if you want to look at Loki and the bad guys, they're not wearing these small little stupid little clothing. They're wearing long coats. They're wearing dusters. That's, you know, that's a reference to that. And like, all right, what about Mafia? I'm like, again, movie reference. Yeah. If you look at movies like Godfather and, you know, Goodfellas, it's, yeah, the crime is part of it, but it's about family. And there's a lot of geeks out there that anxiety is a part of their life. They don't, even though the geek culture is popular today, there's still a lot of, I don't want to say segregation, but there's that push away.
The diehard geeks will always live in a little bit of fear.
Right. That's one they don't feel like they belong. I want to have like, hey, be a part of, you know, a family, you know, that you don't want to say, hey, we're the long coat family. That does not sound cool.
No.
You want to be a part of a group that sounds cool, you know, and with, that's almost the thing that I get with the name of your show. It's like, it's not the podcast, you know, little pool. It's the podcast bay. And when I see the logo and I see how the name is, like, oh, there's almost that little bit of a association with the Pirate Bay. So it's like, you kind of think, well, is this something I should not know? Or that, you know, it's that almost like you're drawn to it out of a curiosity. And that's the thing. You have to pick it up. You have to look at it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the feedback. Mostly when I did that, to be honest with you, I'm fascinated by pirates, historically. They were some of the most interesting, charismatic, communicative. They also had a really evil side, and they were horrible people. We were there too. But like as characters, they liked what they liked. You know, good food they liked. They flew their flags. They had their parlays, so to speak. They got together. They socialized. They did their thing. And like yourself, I wanted to make a family feel. When we set up to do the PDC, we wanted it as a family. But I'm a sales-centric person. I really enjoy sales and business and all of that. And the PDC attracted two types of people. Because Anthony did it as a hobby and I did it as a business, we attracted two different veins of people. And we ended up a lot of the times not posting amazing content because we couldn't decide what to post. And so
it's always a conflict. I'm not knocking what the PDC has done or is doing. It's just that I've gotten a better reaction out of the PDC and better support from the PDC in regards from you and Anthony. That's why I tend to give you guys more of a shout out than a lot of the other groups that are there. It's because it's like, okay, you have the right idea. You're going the right theme. And it's like, especially when it came to, all right, we're having this. Was it you that sponsored a Demolition Derby car?
Yeah. Ask me why I did that. I have no idea.
my co-host would say, hey, you saw an opportunity, you took it. And that's the big thing. And that's why, you know, when I got my first show, my plan was, when I first started this, was, okay, year one, get set up, shake out the bugs, everything else, get settled down, find our identity, and hopefully year two, start going to conventions as either media or have a booth by year three.
And, yeah, man.
You know, that sort of thing, because again, my buddy in Florida, year one, that was his shakedown year to get rid of the bugs, get better equipment. Year two, he was getting interviews. Year three, he had his booth and so forth and so on. And my first press pass was not even 6 months into my show. Because
Congrats.
I was shocked about it because, wait a minute, yeah, this is a local little first year startup show. I wasn't expecting this until year two. And
dude. I, like, when we got a message from the local radio station telling us that they wanted to play our show on, you know, an evening slot every night at, like, I think it was, like, 10 p.m., everybody was in bed. We were so excited to have that opportunity. Even though it was local, we didn't care. It was just so cool. And it took, I want to say, about 6 months for that to happen. But people heard what we were doing, and we got a little bit of radio play, and it was cute. I look back at it, but it was just the greatest feeling in the world at the time.
And that's the thing. It's like I started the show in officially July 2015, and by October, end of October, early November was that first show event, doing interviews and talking to people and getting that network started.
Nice.
And it was like, I told my buddy, I was like, listen, I wasn't expecting this, you know, for another 6 months to a year. And that's when we had the Midnight Sonata interview, and he came out of that telling us after everything was said and done, he's like, dude, this was the hardest interview I have ever done to date.
You asked good questions, I'm sure of it.
And the thing was, I told him, my co-host, my buddy, he's like, listen, I think he was expecting us to go, do you like fried chicken? You know, softball questions like that, not the level that we were asking. And that's what made everything great. And that's the level I try to do, is almost professional. And some of the quasi-celebrities that I've interviewed, I'm like, listen, I'm sorry that I repeat questions that you probably asked 15 billion times before, but it's that level, and I want to be at that level where they do the media events and they're asking, okay, what's your character about? And I'm like, okay, I don't want to ask that, but I have to ask that. And
if you can spin it into something you're really interested in, you know, you ask that level question, but then you ask a follow-up question for you selfishly a little bit, people will forgive you, I think, once in a while.
And who was it? I interviewed... This was last year. I got to speak to one of the folks from The Walking Dead. Her character is not officially dead yet. She hasn't been on the show, but she is not dead, if you can understand that, when it comes to that show. And we were kind of speculating in reference to the upcoming season. And I'm like, yeah, what about if it's this character and this character? And she said, legally, I'm not really, I don't know, and if I did, I'm not supposed to tell. And we nailed it on the head. Literally, we nailed it on the head. And my tweet after the premiere was, nailed it, here's the link to the episode.
Nice.
And it was that level, and the questions of speaking to celebrities and asking them how they got started, what it takes to be, I interviewed two voice actors, and that's one of the questions I asked them after, questions about the upcoming seasons and where they thought their characters would go was, all right, how'd you get started? What advice do you have in regards to others that want to follow the same road that you've took? And I don't think a lot of times they were prepared for that, you know, they're asking, you know, and that's why I try to say, well, what I'm doing is not only the geek aspect, I'm supposed to ask you, okay, what about this and the whole geeky and nerdy aspect of things, but I want to at least educate those that are out there that want to know more.
Infotainment, man. You're getting information, but you're being entertaining, and it's a delicate balance, but it's awesome when you nail it.
And I call it edutainment. It's the same thing.
I like it.
It's same aspect. It's like, okay, what do you have to say about this? And one of the things I want to post up tonight, at least on Instagram, is that thanks to Podbean, a few months ago, we were the show. What I mean by we, again, this is all new to me. I'm still shocked. It's almost 2.5 years into this. I'm still shocked when people go back into our back catalog and download. Was that, speaking of which, was that a shocker to you when you saw people download older episodes as opposed to your newer episodes?
To be honest, it's always fun to see the downloads trickle in the older episodes and to see which ones do really well. Like, I remember seeing the second episode I launched last season almost outperform every other episode. just because the guy that I had with me, the stuff we covered was something people really wanted to know. And so it became the most popular episode just based on the content that was covered and the guy I was talking to.
Kind of a follow-up, was there any episodes you had in your catalog that were like, how is this episode so dang popular compared to, I'm not talking your most popular episode, I'm talking about the one that kind of blew up a little bit as compared to your other episodes.
Yeah, actually, one of the ones that really took me by surprise, because it happened later, was Cole Johnson of Cole Sports, and that's why I asked him to come on, because the guy knows his stuff. That's why I asked him to host with me. He just, for whatever reason, we were talking about just how episodes are performing and how things are going, and I was like, your episode's doing pretty good, man. He's like, how good? And I was like, well, you're like my third most download. And he was like, that just won't do. And so he went out and he started just telling people about it, talking about what we're doing over there and all that stuff. But I've had episodes that I thought were going to do amazing tank. And that always is a bit depressing for me, I must say.
Yeah, that's kind of like what happened to me the end of last year is that, again, he's part of my network. He's the guy that's been doing a lot of the local shows in that area. And he's always asking me, it's like, hey, you're going to have a booth. Do you want to cover the show? I could get you to do a panel. And I figure that's a great experience. It gives me some more learning further on. And it's always great to add to my podcasting resume.
Yeah.
But the thing is, last year at the location we were at, I got done with... about this time, Pokemon Go was still kind of big, and I went in to kind of get the lay of where the panels were going to be, and the guy before me was doing a Pokemon Multiverse Theory panel, and I'm thinking, well, okay, maybe he wants to record, you know, better to ask and have an answer no than not know for certain. So I asked him, I was like, hey, mind if I record, you know, give me your contact information, I'll post it up as an episode, and you could promote it to your heart's content if you want, and I'll be promoting it as well. And he said yes, so I posted that up. I thought it was going to be a wonderful episode for out there for the Pokemon fans. Didn't get any traction.
How was the sound quality, if you don't mind my asking? Was it good, or was it a little rough?
It was a little rough. I managed, it was close to an hour long, but I think his pacing was more of slow because he had more of a time aspect to it, meaning there were instances I was chopping out 2 and 3 minutes of dead air.
Oh, rough.
So there was that aspect, and it came off a little dry.
Okay.
And if you could understand that too. So I'm like, maybe that's why, that episode didn't do too well.
Because I find there's two kinds of listeners, and that's why I try to focus on content and sound, man. Because, like, if your content is dry and hard to listen to and boring, people won't tune in. But if you have,
like... It came off as a little bit boring. I'm not knocking the gentleman. He said yes.
But so then if the sound quality is like they're speaking through, like, an airport PA, it's hard to actually tune in, too. So... You know, when I tuned into your show, I was actually sitting here listening, and I like the editing you do. You do a fine job of it. Like, it flows nicely. The show works well, and everything sounds crisp and good. And
Which episode did you listen to?
I listened to a couple. One where you guys, there were the Ragnarok, Stranger Things.
That was one of the rant episodes. Believe it or not, that's the mic I'm on right now. It's a simple CAD mic U37. I picked up for about $40 off of Amazon.
Nice.
It's for what I need in solo podcasting. It's perfect. So
yeah, I dig it. I tend to recommend ARs. I don't know what it is about them. I just like them. I use a Shure SM58 because I got one cheap, and during my music days, I fell in love with it. You know, and it does the trick. If it was still $300, I think I'd wait on it, though.
Right, right.
I'm a cheapskate. I can't help it.
You're talking to a person that, when it comes to doing the new episode photos type of ordeals, I use, oddly enough, my phone. Again, I am probably cheaper than you because I cannot afford the fees for Photoshop. And even though if I did, I probably would learn how to do Photoshop well enough to do better promotional stuff. But I use something called PicCollage for the phone.
Okay.
And it's some of the stuff that I put up on, like with when I do for this episode, I'll put like our picture meets up like a crossover or verses in the center and yours on the bottom or something like that.
Nice.
And it's something to combine everything together, and I'll use a meme program to add words and crop it and trim it and everything else. And it's basic and it works for me, and it's both things are free.
Man, I latched onto Canva like you would not believe because it was free. And like, I make infographics and quotes and you know, somewhat boring shit like that. Like, I'm sorry, but I had as much fun as I could with a dry type of podcast genre. You know, like podcasts about podcasting, they're so stuffy most of the time. And so I wanted to have some fun with it. But there's even limitations to the amount of creativity I can have with what I do. So a lot of it's quotes, visuals, things like that. And it still has to be, you know, informative. So you can,
sure.
I can't, like, memes are good for grabbing attention. Hell yes. And like creative graphics are great for grabbing attention, but I want my content to educate as well. So when I saw Canva and I saw a free tutorial of like what you could do with Canva, I dove on it, and I've been just messing around with that and having a lot of fun. I used to have a free license for Photoshop that they gave away like 6-7 years ago, but lately there's typically a free software that can do what you need. Is just, do you have the time, the desire to learn it and do it? That's the main thing. Or do you have the circumstances that, you know, you've got to do it? Because we've been there. You have to do everything yourself, man.
If I still had my old Macintosh Performer 6116, I'd be using a copy of either Photoshop or PageMaker that good old Uncle Tony got off the back of a truck. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Pirate Bay.
Well, one of the equivalents back in the day.
Yeah.
And doing things that way. But that's just me. It's just, you know, right now this is what I can do. And if I could use two separate programs to get what I need out, in reference to new episode, and even if it's just like a photo and I need to, all right, put new episode available now. Hey, I got this meme program that puts words on photos.
Yeah.
Okay, crop it down and, you know, put the words on it. And to grab, if I need to grab attention, okay, I'm putting a smiley face sticker on this one. But yeah, it might be lame, but it for the time being for me works. And yes, I'm going to give credit to my my co-host, who is a artist himself, who did the original mascot photo drawing, and he did the current reimagination of our current flyer. So
I dig it, and that was the one thing. Like, I looked at your cover art, and like, you got to understand, I see cover art, I hear shows, like all day, every day. It's my life. And when I looked at your guys' stuff, I read the title, I looked at the cover art, and I heard the show. I was like, this is refreshing. It's different. I like
the banner. The banner you see on our page's cover art was I'm going to have that gentleman on next week's episode.
Nice.
The week after yours drops. He works at Fast. He's going to, if he listens to this, he's going to be all giddy. He works at a local Fast Signs, and when I went in to do that banner, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of how I picture it. It's just going to be the name of the show, and, you know, available on, you know, at the time it's iTunes, and, you know, this is what I want. He said, I got an idea for it. Are you willing to trust me for it? And I went, okay. And at that time, again, I'm not knocking my co-host. He said, I'm going to get you a banner. And I figured, all right, if my co-host pulls through, I have two banners. If not, I still get the one from Fast Signs.
Nice.
And they, when I, like, did the one banner, and he looked at me, he's like, man, this is the better banner than I got for you. And I'm willing to give the guy that I'm going to have on that. We're going to be talking about wrestling, probably Dungeons and Dragons and other things next week, you know, for that his show. So it should be very interesting. It's going to be good to have him on. And he took that banner well and did a great job on it. And I do appreciate it. It's a nice vinyl banner, too.
That's awesome.
So it's that sort of thing. It's like I've somehow lucked into a lot of these great, wonderful artists, great people to speak to, and especially, you know, with especially the promoter I know who does the local shows saying, hey, I know this guy that wants to get the word out about his local movie down that he's doing here. So I'm like, all right, I got to get in touch with this person and getting the interviews and it's that whole aspect. A lot of people's like, oh, what you're doing is so easy. No, it's not.
Well, no, it isn't.
I just make it look easy.
I love it, man. I love it. Yes. And to further add to that, like I was, like I told you in the pre-talk, like I live in Canada, but I live in New Brunswick. It's a small province. I live in a small town inside a small province. I grew up there. Not a lot of exposure to much. No celebrity culture in my life, man, like at all, right? So when I got my first podcast and I realized how far your voice could go, and I started helping people from all over the world kind of figure out their stuff and how to do better at, you know, what getting toward what they want to do with podcasting and just being able to work with people from different cultures, different budgets, different walks of life, different everything. And then from, you know, the guy who's just started and he's still in the basement all the way up to the guy who's like, hey, I'm Joe Blow celebrity and I want to, you know, create a podcast from my YouTube channel or my, you know, whatever it is and repurpose the content. How does that work? Like being able to work with all these different people just because I started a podcast, you getting to go to all these different conventions and meet all these people just because you started a podcast. Like, that's really powerful for someone like me who didn't have a global voice until I did this.
Yeah, it's shocking, and there's a lot of things to get used to. I still get it. Again, this is not against you or anybody else. I still got to get used to the fact that things happen, and sometimes people forget.
My sincerest apologies.
The thing is, I'll get mad, but when people say, oh, geez, I forgot, let me reschedule, and the reschedule happens, and therefore, I'm like, all right, that's cool. They rescheduled, you know, it's the ones that, oh, yeah, maybe, and they just keep flaking, if you can understand that.
Yeah, I've had, like, it happen, man. It sucks.
And it's just like, you want to be a part of the show, but you keep flaking on me. I can't have that. But that makes me want to scramble.
Well, yeah, and I've had people plan events, invite me to be in them, and then never update me again. And right. I've had people invite me to their show and then never send me a calendar link. And, like, granted, I've been guilty of the same thing. If it doesn't hit my calendar, I will 100% forget. But that is, like, I will step up, take full responsibility. I should have penned that in the minute we agreed. And, you know, I was like, I will remember that shit. And sure enough, my memory handed my ass to me.
And the thing is, with me, it's like, when they flake, and I've gotten a few, you know, compliments about the fact, it's like, that they might have known my plans. Other people might have known my schedule in reference to what I wanted to do and where my plan for the show was going to go with certain things, and all of a sudden stuff fell through, and it's like, damn it. Hey, you want to be on the show? You do. Come on, let's record something. And it's just hitting the ground running and just twisting. And a lot of people have been shocked that, hey, how are you able to do this? Hey, I have to. It's part of the game. If I don't, it's adjust or die. I don't want to die. I don't want to miss a week. I don't want to read a creepypasta every single week when I've got nothing. But I will if I have to.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I find really, you know, crappy, especially, like, for me, we were doing live radio for a while, and in that situation, whenever a guest bailed, ouch. Like, that really sucked. But in, like, Podcast Bay, I do a lot of batch recording, and when you're trying to do current events like movies and things like that, it's very difficult. You can't batch record. You have to be on the cutting edge of all the information. Like, if I heard you correctly on your show, you had to do a take two, because you recorded an entire episode lock, stock, and barrel the night before, and then a piece of new information came out, and you had to redo the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
dedication above and beyond what I have.
Right. And it's just like, I could do a, you know, all right, this is what I'm thinking right now. This is my reaction. All this information is hitting me right now, and I have to be on that crest, and all of a sudden, the next day, after everything's recorded and set in, I won't say set in stone because it hasn't been posted yet. And I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell did I say? And I shouldn't have said that. I could have worded it way better. And all of a sudden.
Okay, you get that like, too?
Yeah.
Thank God.
And it's like, oh, what the, I didn't, thank God it's not posted yet. Okay. Since it's just me, let me re-record it. Maybe I could say it better. And sometimes instead of it being an hour and 15 minutes, it's an hour and 7 minutes. And it's just more condensed. And I'm saying things the right way. It didn't come up. It might have come out offensive, but not as offensive as it initially came out when I did it. So it's like, okay. But I know I'm forgetting something, and that's why I at least try to give the email and the Facebook, say, hey, just message. What did I forget? Message. Am I wrong? Message. You know?
Yeah. And feedback loop is so important, man. Like, it's for me, it's the lifeblood of my show. If people aren't giving me feedback, I won't know what to do for my next show.
But the thing is, again, same buddy that lives down in Florida, his show. He said he was getting about 3,000 listeners a week for his show at the show's height, but overall he was getting the same feedback from the same 5 to 15 people, and that's it.
That's to be expected sometimes, but yeah. I find, well, for me, I've seen two different scenarios. I've seen people with huge listenerships that they've paid for. And in those cases, like, they'll get thousands upon thousands of views, but very, very few people actually tuning in or commenting. Or the people who inflate the numbers via Twitter bombing or things like that, they're going to have a large listenership but no feedback. Or if you are basically, like, promoting your stuff in places where people are tuning in, but you're not necessarily creating the feedback loop for engagement. Like, I'm always asking questions because I always want my people to, even if they're not necessarily in my group, I'll ask on different groups, I'll ask everywhere, because every question that I ask is giving me some kind of, I'm putting out an invitation for engagement, if that makes sense. Like, you have been doing, like, am I wrong? Write in. You know, that is giving people the invitation, and a lot of people don't do it, and so they don't get a lot of engagement.
That's what I try to do on our the show's Facebook page. If I post up an article, and I'll give my, what's easy for me to do is I tend to write in two different styles. One is from, hey, if you look at it, the post deep enough, you could tell when it's me personally saying something and me trying to be as the show, as somebody else trying to do something. But I'll still put, like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, weigh in on this. What do you think about this? And it's trying to get that user interaction about the article as well. But it's kind of hard to do. It's, for me, it's easy because I took a lot of creative writing courses in high school. And
imagination matters, man. In this game, imagination matters a lot.
And to think my educational background is limited to journalism 101 in high school. And it was about 2 years of journalism in high school, and that's about it, and creative writing in high school and a little bit of college. And it helps a little bit. It does. Because it gives you that aspect of, all right, how do I approach this? How to do an interview properly? How to cite sources? It helps a little, but it's better than nothing.
Well, you know what, though? I find, like, especially these days with the way social media is working, people are relating more to creativity now than ever before. Before, you could just talk at someone and, like, I'm sorry, like, I hate to insult any platform or any medium, but have you listened to how painful radio ads are?
Oh, I tried to stick away from radio because radio is a funky beast. And the whole mainstream media, you got to figure, when people have asked me, is the older generation get it, but a lot of the youth today don't get it, is that when they ask, what is a podcast, and say, public access for radio. That's the best way I can describe it. And
I used to say online radio, but then online radio people started cussing me out.
I say
public access radio.
Public access, because, and when you get that few people at kind of give you that RCA head tilt. Remember the movie Wayne's World?
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, Wayne's World was in essence a parody of public access, or a movie based on public access TV. That's what YouTube and podcasts are. YouTube is the mainstream public access for everybody. That's free. You don't have to pay a TV station to be on the air. You don't have to pay a radio station to be on the air. Well, if you have an account through, I'm not knocking Podbean or Libsyn or any of the mainstream stuff, but you don't really have to pay a radio station hundreds upon hundreds of dollars every year or every month to be on the air. And it's relatively, as I like to say, too cheap to matter.
Well,
so,
you know, like, I've seen it done both ways, man. I've seen it done very budget-friendly, economical, and creatively, and do perform extremely well. And I've seen the people with the budgets to throw pay for the production value, because that's, again, something I do, right? Produce shows. And they're willing to throw all kinds of different things into the mix and change things up and formulate things, and they do well too. It really, what I've noticed is it comes down to who are they talking to, and what are those people, what kind of experience do they want? And the more you can tap into that, like, seriously, if people like Raw and the people who follow you like Raw and you're able to make it work, you know, and people will respect you for it. It's more about being who you are and creating the kind of content you want to create than it is about any kind of budget or formula.
And that's what, you know, drives me a lot of the times. It's like, listen, you might hate everything I do. I dare you to listen to what I do and then be the judge. And that's what I tend to deal with. Why I'm hated in my community is because a lot of my community doesn't want to promote or get the word out with what they're doing. And here's this little rinky-dink local podcaster that's, you know, shouting to the wind about his show. In essence saying, hey, if I could do this on a rinky-dink little budget, what are you doing?
Man.
And again, I'm not knocking someone like you. It's just like, I'm challenging, you know. It's like, I'm challenging everybody. You know, it's like, listen, if I'm getting the word out and I'm trying to hijack what you're doing, and I'm doing a better job at it, what does that say to you? And yeah, it's like, challenge me, approach me. I dare you. I got a mic. I could schedule the conference room at the coffee shop right now. Come on in. And yeah, that's ballsy. It takes a pair of cojones, you know, to do something like that. And that's what I'm willing to do. and no one's willing to step up to the plate locally in reference to it because they're afraid.
Man, and local is where you find the small thinkers. I will say that. Like, there is benefit to doing some things locally, but locally is where you will find the majority of the small thinkers. Like, I've had to find my tribe online, the people who get me, the people who understand where I'm coming from, because, like, half the people in my own family think I'm, you know, big-headed and greedy. The other half are like, yeah, man, you do you. You go after your dreams. You know, so, like, you have to kind of surround yourself with the people who actually understand you, whether that is online, locally, whatever. And then everybody else, you just crush them with mind-blowing success.
There are people in my community that give me a wide berth, and I just lean back and smile. And, you know, it's just that whole aspect. And it's like, I dare you. I'm playing by your rules, and I'm winning. And
yeah, I'm a respectful man. I'm a nice guy. But if people are going to be a certain way, I'm just going to let them walk on by, man.
Right. And that's the fun thing. It's like, this past year, I was willing to challenge our local mall. It would have been a fight of epic proportions that if you tuned in, you would have loved.
I would have heard the screams from here without tuning in, I'm sure.
Right, you would have because the year before our first year, I was doing our mall tried to have this pop culture type of ordeal, and let me put it like this, it failed miserably. I mean, I've been at failed events, and this failed beyond fail. They didn't promote it. They didn't do anything to it. The mall was dying as it is. And they literally thought the digital recorder I had on hand, we're talking a Olympiad-like digital recorder you get at Radio Shack.
Yeah, yeah. For, like, they lecture notes I was, and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I use, and I put it through a converter, and I clean up the audio, and, I post it. And they thought that was streaming straight to the internet and to YouTube. And I'm like, I'm not filming anything. Well, yes, you are. No, I'm not. I'm, within my, I spoke to several law officers, peacekeepers, police department, saying you're perfect right to record every bit of audio. As long as you know that West Virginia has that law that if you're on what's considered public property, you have the right to record anything as long as one party member knows that they're recording, which meant I could have had that thing in my pocket and recorded conversations. But I was being professional, and they thought I was streaming, and they were like, well, we'll call the cops on you. And I'm like, all right, I'll be polite and leave. So I was thinking the year after, which would have been last year, that if they held another show, I'll look up their policies, and sure enough, it says everything about video recording, nothing about audio, which meant I could record all the audio I wanted. As long as I didn't record any video, I'd be fine. And I would have called the cop over and said, see that policy that they have? This is an audio recorder, not a video recorder. So I'm about going by their rules and their policies. So
yeah, man, it just, and you know, honestly, like, this, I grew up a skateboarder, so, like, I got thrown off of more properties than I could count. And, like, I at least you had a good reason. Like, I was like, I'm technically vandalizing.
Did you use air quotes on an audio podcast?
No,
Scott?
I actually didn't. I was hoping that just the tonality in my voice would be enough. Was it?
Yes, it was enough.
Excellent. But yeah, dude, like, it just, that's what it reminds me of. And I have a question, if you don't mind my asking.
Go ahead.
Flipping the script sometimes because I geek out on this stuff, right? Do you monetize your show, or do you plan to at all? Is that in the cards for you, or are you planning to keep this as, like, primarily hobby-based?
If I got big enough to actually warrant monetization, I would love to. I'm willing to, hopefully, if I remember to do so one of these days. I have this bad case of personal it's not HD, ADHD, but it's that whole aspect of, ooh, look, shiny.
Yes, I do it in business. We call it bright, shiny object syndrome. It's a thing.
But I might want to, because I record at the that one particular coffee shop, that they only limit our use of that room for 2 hours, and we abide by that rules. That way we're able to at least come back and be polite and so forth and so on, that I want to at least negotiate a deal with the person that runs it that, hey, if we can get an extra hour out of the deal, well, I'll be willing to promote your show. That way it's not really monetization, but it's getting something a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tit for tat sort of thing, but it's a step in the right thing. Hey, as long as we record here, we'll mention your place of business, whatever. If you want to do a scripted thing or just something that is freestyling,
I like it.
That sort of thing.
I like it. That's where I started too. I literally, like, very early on, I was trading like NPOs, like nonprofit organizations, like Bullying Canada and stuff, ad space for like the chance to work with them. And do various things. Like, I was just really, I pimped my show out for some pretty interesting reasons, to be honest with you, just to get in good with certain people or learn certain things that I wanted to learn. And, but to be honest with you, like, I've seen shows do some pretty amazing things, especially in the geek world. You know, like, I've seen some people rock Patreon really hard. Some people don't like it, can't get into it. I've seen some people rock merch. Other people don't like it, can't get into it. I've seen some people do, like, affiliates with conventions, selling tickets through their shows or, with various companies that feed geek culture, like different loot crates and stuff, and monetize that way. Like, I've seen it done so many amazing ways that, like, especially in geek culture, I get so curious to ask because, like, business, everyone tends to do it one or two, maybe three different ways. But in geek culture, that's when the creativity comes out. Like, the entertainment podcasts really know how to inject some creativity into their monetization game. I love it.
And that's the thing. It's like when you – I don't know if you heard the Otacon episode that I did a couple of months ago. But prior to that, and that was our first – I tell people, or I use the analogy when I was speaking to my co-host, that it's kind of like going from a AAA league type deal to a minor league deal to a major league ordeal. And here is the first major league convention that said yes is the one that we've been kind of bashing for the past year and a half and over the past 6 years that... because I had a terrible time when I first went, they're the ones that said yes. I'm like, wait a minute, have you been listening to our show? you just said yes to a show that's been pretty much saying you guys suck.
You know how much you were talking about them, though?
Yeah. It was just that we had a bad experience.
Someone made a 30-minute hate video of me and put it on YouTube. Because I sell podcasting services and he was pissed about that. And when he did that, people saw it and became my clients. Like, I shit you not, I can't make it up. It's funny to me. Because that's why I don't really get mad at hate or love. It's all love in the end of the day, right?
So the thing, the thing was, they're like, all right, here's a press pass. I'm like, okay, what do I do now? This is not, one of, Matt's shows where I know what to do and how I can approach things. This is a whole new league here. And it was one of those things I could only go one day.
Did it change your experience and your opinion of that company?
They did. It was a new location, new experience, and when I did the episode, it was like, okay, let me give you guys some context. This is where I was coming from, at least prior to the show, and why I thought the way I was thinking, and this is what I think now. And my experience did change. It was more of a positive. Everybody was friendly. It was a span of, when I first went, was like over 10 years ago, and it could have been a different culture back then than it is now, and it was more of a positive culture, and I had more of a good time because I still wasn't part of that particular geek culture, because it's an anime culture, and if you're not really into it, you don't know anything. But the group that was at this particular convention was more willing and more accepting, more willing to talk and, you know, at least communicate to me. I didn't snag any interviews. I'm like, son, I should at least hit record and ask if they want to say a few words on the show, because I had the media pass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, I want to send them an email. I think I did tell them, thank you for letting us do this. You know, you changed my mind. You know, this was a learning experience for me being part of the majors. And hopefully next year I'm going to go for another major league pass that the year or two prior, they pretty much said, oh, we're too cool for you.
Mm.
And I have that aspect of, oh, really?
Well,
you're too cool for me. You do realize I'm an asshole, right?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty humble. I will say that, like, I can be that douchebag, and everything I do is powered out of spite. If someone tells me I can't fucking do something, man, I'm going to do it. I'm quieter about it than you, maybe, but I'm going to fucking do it, no matter what anybody tells me. And so, like, my folks still don't know what I do.
Yeah, mine don't either.
My mom and stepdad are coming around to it now that they're seeing money on the table. They're like, oh, my God, this isn't another pipe dream.
Right.
I was in a band, man. We didn't have any money.
If my stepdad knew that I was doing this, it would be like, all right, how much are you making off of it? What are you doing this, and that? I'm like, Dad, it's a learning experience right now. It's allowing me to improve myself.
Yeah.
That way, if it opens doors, it'll open doors. If not now, but if not, it's like, well, if you're making money off of it, there's that whole YouTube thing. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Not anymore.
And even back then, it was like, I don't have that type of cash. You know, you got to at least shovel out some money in order to get headway.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that on YouTube, audio is still the most important thing you can take care of.
Right.
So, like, if you're going to invest in audio equipment to do video, you might as well invest in audio equipment to do audio. I skipped the whole video portion. That's why I didn't go with video podcasting. I don't know enough about video to do it, and I don't want to learn. You know, if I could hire a kid with a camera to follow me around all day and tape me and do video and work his magic, I would. I'm not there yet. Hopefully someday. But, you know, like, as long as you're pushing boundaries, man, and I get your mentality when you say if it opens doors, but I would encourage you to push a few doors open, you know, because you're like that. You're tenacious. I can already tell you want to take this as far as you can. And
part of me does. It's just like that. I'm one of the many people that kind of suffers from anxiety.
Oh, shit. Tell me about it.
Yeah. It's just one of those. It's not as bad. I'm not as bad as some of the introverts that I know. I tend to say I'm a introverted extrovert, because when there are times to be, you know, outgoing and everything else, I can do that. But it takes a lot out of me. And there are times that I'll close up, I'll clam up. It's like, oh, gee, I can't do it. No, it's way out of my league.
Man, I've skipped interviews. I've skipped out on interviews because of that reason. It's funny. Like, I didn't think we'd hit it off quite like this, but if you're saying so many things that I go through. Like, we just had a talk about that the other day in the Podcast Bay community, which you're welcome to come join, by the way. You can dive in there and check it out. But we were talking about imposter syndrome, fraudulence, anxiety, depression, and where that all plays into a podcaster's headspace. Because when you're feeling anxious about an interview, there's like a very good chance you will skip that interview, at least when you're me. So, like, I'm constantly in a battle to keep myself calm, collected. Thank God for, like, being able to do everything via podcasting was my way to kind of break out of my shell. And lately I've been getting a little more on video because I still have the screen between me and them. But when I like conferences, like I got to bow down to you on that one, man. Conferences and big social outings, I'm still not there yet. Like, I don't know. I've been invited to podcasting conferences and I keep saying it's my passport, but really I'm just not there yet.
The thing is, that was one of the shockers to me. It was like when I spoke up, like I said, I mentioned about the library and speaking about, against one of the directors that was pretty much driving the library down to, if she stayed, we wouldn't have a local library to begin with. Thankfully, me and a couple other people pushed in reference to getting her dismissed because of the bunch of wrongdoings that she was doing. And it came out to light that this wasn't the first library she was doing this to or done it to. And at that point, I was doing this for about a year. And I had to get up and speak to a bunch of people. And I'm like literally shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. I'm like, and as I'm reading what I wrote on the paper, I'm like, in my mind, it's like, wait a minute. Why am I shaking like a leaf? I do a podcast weekly. I record, and I've done two panels. Why am I so full of nerves? What the hell? You know, it was just freaky. You know, it was, I mean, like, listen, I've talked to people that are granted B-list or C-list celebrities, and why am I this nerves? Where is this nerves coming from? It was almost comical.
Well, so, like, for me, like, some people really like celebrities. For me, it's business people. Like, I will always be transparent when I say that I am a money-driven person. I always have been. Like, some people blame it on the Taurus in me. If you're into that kind of thing, whatever. I like it. You know, I like business. I like commerce. So when I see, like, certain business people that I respect, I get nervous as hell. I'm question my worth. I don't want to speak to them just in case. Like, I get nervous and down on myself sometimes or anxious. And usually when I actually pluck up the courage to speak to them, they are the coolest, sweetest, most down-to-earth people. And it was me. I had to get over myself because they're just people too, you know? I mean, granted, you do get the occasional douche, but
right.
But for the most part, they're all really cool people. So, like, I spoke to Jordan Woods Robinson. He was a cast member of The Walking Dead and a member of the Blue Man Group. And I wasn't nervous at all. We talked music. We talked, you know, television. We talked about all that cool stuff. And we talked, it was for millennials. So we wanted to talk to people about, like, you know, the various alternate routes you could take through life if you didn't want to pursue formal education. And so I didn't get starstruck for that. But then I go interview, like, a business guy that nobody really knows the name of. And because I look up to a man, I get, like, sweaty palms and I cancel the interview three times. And stupid, stupid stuff. But it happens. It really does. And it's about kind of getting yourself in the headspace where you're comfortable doing it. And it comes from repetition, but it also comes from knowing your value and knowing, you know, what you're worth and not being ashamed of it.
That's the thing. I grew up, one of the things I did was, you know, I tend to do this wink, wink, nudge, nudge type of ordeals, is that you had the Ancestry.com type ordeal happen a couple of days ago on Twitter. And I was like, you know what, I put out at Ancestry.com. Oh, you're doing the DNA thing. How about a sponsorship? Send me a kit, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Nothing really came about it, but, you know, the reason why I want to find out is because I think I'm part Irish or Scott, you know, part of that region that has that stubbornness to it.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the heritage-wise, I'm adopted, but I grew up in a German, Hungarian, and Italian-based, you know, family. And that's stubborn. And that, you know, all right, I am stubborn by descent, probably, and I'm raised in a household that is stubborn by descent. Okay, you know, therefore, I'm going to push back. Here's somebody who's stubborn and willing to argue about anything, who has anxiety, and, you know, doesn't feel that they're worth and will suffer probably from depression.
So you're at war
like,
with
how
yourself.
Confusing is that?
You're at war with yourself it's like, constantly.
Yeah. And so there's that time. It's like, I could have a great interview with, you know, this person or that person, and all of a sudden, oh, crap, I don't think it went well. Oh,
I do that, too, for weeks until the public receive it well and I'm okay again.
And that's what happened to – we were talking about it earlier in reference to episodes that we didn't think would blow up. And it's like one of the episodes I did was just an experimental episode. It's like, listen, I'm at this show. I'm going to do a live episode at the show. It's not going to work out well. It's the audio sucks, because it's in this busy environment, meaning there's a lot of background noise. It's just going to suck. It's a sucky episode because of that bad audio. And it just blew up. It has, well over three-digit, hits. I'm like, where did this episode blow up from? This one of the worst episodes. Who's promoting this? And it's just, one of those. And yet other episodes don't do well that I think, hey, everybody wants to listen to that. Like, last year, one of the panels I recorded was a Star Wars panel. I thought, even though I'm not a part of it, it's going to blow up. Everybody's watching Star Wars. Nope, barely got any traction. I'm like, the hell? And I put Star Wars in the title. And it's just that two-way street. It's like, listen, this is going to be great. Oh, crap, it didn't work. All right, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is if I can kind of just lay my two cents in as the overall approach to podcasting is be tenacious in everything. Like learning, chasing opportunities, like be tenacious. Learn as much as you can. Talk to as many people as you can. And then basically relationship marketing. Instead of doing your marketing like one to many, start doing your marketing in a way that you're constantly talking to people one-on-one. It can be on a big platform. But, just start giving people the time of day one-on-one and your podcast will grow just because your relationships will grow.
That's what I'm kind of finding out, too.
Yeah.
One of the biggest compliments when I was first starting out, it was that first show I was covering. Even though crappy audio, we had one of those interviews that didn't seem to go well. And what I tend to do is, with that celebrity, whatever level that they're at, I send them a link, tell them, all right, here's the episode just dropped, just to let you know. It's common courtesy. I think all podcasters should do with it, an interview. As soon as this drops, you'll be getting a link.
Yeah.
It's courtesy, politeness, call it what you want. And within about 24 hours, I thought he was insulting the show. I was ready to, type out an angry letter. And it turns out I had to reread it, and my buddy was like, no, he's paying you a compliment. And he said, I think the person said that this was the first time he actually got to hear how he did an interview. And it allowed him to improve his interview skills as someone being interviewed. So it was like he was actually complimenting the show for doing the interview. He was thanking the show for allowing him to learn how to do a better interview.
Yeah, and that feedback is the feedback that matters, the most.
Right.
Right.
So.
That and when your listeners tell you what they want to hear. Because as much as some people will say the show is about us, to some degree it is, but the best shows are always about the listener experience. And that has just been my experience. People can disagree with me if they want to. The more shows that are listener-centric, the better they do.
That's why I'm trying to at least going with the thinking of the Philip DeFranco type of ordeal. It's not a one-way street. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
That's why I always try to include, what do you think? What do you – if I'm wrong, let me know. And I will read your, stuff on air. And haven't gotten that far yet. You've gotten a few – one person I might want to, because my schedule has now changed, I want to go back and read his emails and see if I could re-establish a connection with him and see if I could get him on the show, at least for the time being.
Yeah, man. So, like, find as many ways to get people involved as you can.
Right.
Answering questions, getting on the show, type into Facebook, hey, I'm doing a Q&A on the show. What do you want to, you know, like that kind of thing. And you just the more ways you create to get people involved, the more people you'll find wanting to share in the show. Because they feel like they're a part of it.
Which is always, it's that aspect of pulling teeth as well. It's tough, and sometimes I've been getting more feedback now, recently, than anything else. And which is interesting and fun. One of the things I posted up over the past week was just, it was something I found amusing. I thought it would be great for, at least for the page. It was the Joker versus Pennywise. It was like a fan-based video that someone did. And that got a response from someone. And just the aspect of responding, yeah, you're right. This is, you know, this is the dynamic. And there was a little bit of a conversation there. But it's always that. It shows that, and at least in my head, that we're willing to engage the audience, and at least somebody's willing to engage us, that, you know, it's okay to put something out there.
My biggest thing, man, is listener numbers or masturbation. They're there for our ego. And to be honest with you, it's the feedback and the engagement that we should be measuring always. It's the most important metric.
Oh, if I was doing sound drops, that would be part of at least one of the sound drops.
All right, man. Well, with that, I gotta call it a night. I've gotta take some me time and some time with the lady.
No problem. I got a big pile of nachos I want to go through as well. It's been great talking to you, Scott. Once again, would you like to plug your show and at least tell us where we could find your show?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny, man, I'm a marketer, but I hate marketing terminology. So like, I fucking hate the word plug. I hate lead. I hate prospect. Like, I hate all that, but,
fine. Then where can, at least our listeners stalk your show?
No, it's fine. If you are a podcaster and you want to kind of listen to a vulgar dude talk about podcasting and debunking myths and calling out crummy behaviors in podcasting and deep diving into topics and stuff, you can go check out Podcast Bay. And, yeah, like, it is a pirate theme. It is a very family theme. We have a community on Facebook. You can join us there, too. Basically, it's about business, sales, podcasting. If that kind of stuff interests you, if podcasting and money is your jam, come hang out with us. That's basically all we talk all day long.
So if you said that was it, I want to thank all you guys. Later, stay tuned after this interview. You'll hear me once again giving our show links and everything else. And everybody, take care. And we're back. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Scott about podcasting and how to do it and our little anecdotes. So if you have any questions, comments, smart marks, other. Our email address is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or if you want to, you can like us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast and sending us a message that way. Before I go on to tell you about our other social media, I just want to say all of Scott's links to his show, his Facebook page, will be in the description down below. And we had a very good time with speaking with him. As you can tell, it was a hoot having Scott on the show. Now back to kind of the social media. And if you want to, you could send tweets my way. You could stalk the show that way, if you will. By going to Twitter and looking for Long Coat Mafia. We are on Instagram and to see what we're up to sometimes. I try to keep update with that and promote the show that way. Our handle or our screen name for Instagram is Long Coat Mafia. So please find us like that that way. We are on iTunes and Apple Podcasts if you like Apple and Apple products. If you don't like Apple and Apple products, you could always use Google Play Music. You could find all our past episodes on our main website, and our main website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, the word "the" is part of the website, so that's that. And please like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, and or Google Play Music, whichever is your choice. So have a great week, folks, and don't forget to show Scott and his podcast some love and listen to a few of his shows, and just to get an idea how and what goes on into making this show. And hopefully we'll be on his show in the upcoming future. Thank you. Later, guys, and have a good week again.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.